Hey, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. The doors are open. This is the Intentional Living Center. Today, as we unpack what it means to be intentional in our marriage, which is always one of the high topics that, you know, kind of floats right to the top of whatever we're talking about, because marriage is such an intimate, important part of our satisfaction, about our life, about our values, and so on. So today, we got questions coming in. If you have one you'd like to share, call 888-888-1717.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a conference speaker and coach, founder of the Intentional Living Center, and your advocate for the family. If you've got a question on marriage, now's the time to call 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the center today, to Intentional Living. And marriage, as I mentioned, is such an important topic, and we've got callers standing by ready to talk. We'll get to those in just a couple of minutes. And I want to, again, welcome you if you're a new listener. Thank you for tuning in to Intentional Living. We believe that the message that we share, the stories that you hear, the content that we create, the resources that we create are designed to do one thing, and that is to help you in a transformational way to become more and more like Him, the one who loves you, and really to help you become the person that you want to be, that God intended for you to be, where you're going to find the greatest joy and comfort and pleasure in living intentionally in Christ. So today, one area, one aspect of life, it's on marriage, and we're going to get to our callers here in just a moment.
Hello. I pray intentionally every day that God restore my husband to our marriage. We are scheduled for divorce, and I pray that God restores my marriage. But I intentionally pray every day and ask God to change me, because I cannot change my husband, so I pray that He change me and make me the wife that my husband needs and desires. And I see things every single day that God is changing in me and around me in my circumstance, and I love it. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center at 888-888-1717. We go to the calls. Let me see here. Mary's on the line. Mary, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hi, Dr. Carlson.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
I've been in a marriage that has been deteriorating over the years. Mm. We started off really well going to church together, but over the years we have had conflict and some just terrible hurt between us. We've grown apart. We're living separate lives, but what my question is how can I keep trying to grow spiritually when my marriage is just an abomination to God? I just don't know. I want to please God. I just don't know if this is going to hinder me from moving forward in doing that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mary, we teach people that life is not in departments. You know, we don't have a spiritual department and then a marriage department and a kids department. They all sort of blend in. If we're living a life of authenticity and growth, that all of these areas intermingle. Our faith impacts all these other areas, and they impact our faith as well. But when you're in a situation where there's got to be some issues, sounds like you're living apart, you're not on the same page, counseling, if I understand it from what it says here, you've been, and hasn't that made a difference? I mean, it's going to impact your faith. But I would hope instead of it impacting it negatively, it'll impact it in a strong way, that you'll realize that this area of my life that I have no control over, you can't control your spouse. You can't control the outcome of what happens in your marriage at this point. You can't control if he's going to stay or go or grow spiritually or resolve issues. But the area that you do have control over is your own growth in Christ. And I think what happens, Mary, is we tend to focus on where the pain is in life. And right now the pain is in your marriage, so everything focuses on your marriage. I'm sure your thoughts, you know, your attitudes, everything gets sort of sucked into this black hole of what's going on in your marriage that's not healthy. And I would encourage you to start giving intentional thought, intentional meditation in terms of your the scripture and prayer and so on, and intentional friendships that you would have that would draw you into a healthier place to be growing for yourself. Because my guess is everything right now is just focused on what isn't happening in your marriage.
What do you mean, intentional friendships?
Well, you should have some healthy friendships. I don't mean romantic. I'm talking about some women who are mature women, godly women,
oh, sure,
that you're involved in a church where you can grow spiritually. Sure. These things that you can do to grow.
My Sunday school sisters are great. That is my Sunday school sisters that I see once a week. And, you know, this is an everyday thing.
Yeah. Now, you're living apart. You said you're living in separate places?
No. We live under the same...
Oh, you're just living apart. Okay.
We have been living in separate ends of the house for 10 years.
Oh, so this isn't new. This is long term.
We've been married for 18 years. I just can't abide that. And so...
Well, that's not what God intends for any of us. I guess the question is... After 10 years, it would seem to me it would certainly be appropriate for the two of you to sit down with a counselor and just lay the proverbial cards on the table face up and say, we're living at the opposite ends of the house. We're not, there's nothing going on here, and we're not relating to each other in healthy ways. And if you can't do that together, then you need to go do that, Mary. You need to find a counselor for yourself, a godly person who's going to be strong, confident, knows God's word, who's going to give you some counsel on how you need to respond to this. You know, it's more than just a phone conversation here. But if I were sitting with you, I would be saying, hey, you need to get with a counselor, set a plan of action for your own spiritual growth, for, you know, whatever boundaries need to be put in place and so on and so on, to deal with that. Because if you don't, you know, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And if the past is 10 years of this just not happening, nothing good coming, at what point do you stop and say, hey, we've got to, I'd rather have a blowout on a tire than a, you know, than a slow leak and get things to a head. But I would really encourage you for your own, you know, for your own safety and for your own mental and spiritual health and physical health, that you find a counselor, find someone you can talk to that can help you think this through and pray this through. Because that's really the best I can give you at this point. We'll be praying for you.
Is encouraging quite frequently, which would seem like a typical thing to do. However, I grew up in a very critical household, and as a child, I always heard a lot of discouraging comments, a lot of negativity. I wasn't used to that when I got married, so my husband was constantly building me up, and 12 years later, he's still doing that, and I tell you what, it's made all the difference in the world. Every day he tells me he loves me, every day he tells me how wonderful I am. Every day he tells me about my strengths and my talents, and he doesn't seem to tire of it, so I'm just blessed.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Let's go to Tessa on the line with a question for me today. Tessa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, so I just had a quick question about blessings in a marriage, and my husband and I are both believers.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the last year, my relationship with God has grown to a point where I understand that even though we've been believers, I haven't really been a practicing believer. It's been convenient and on my schedule. And in recent months, my husband and I went through the marriage intensive, and my relationship with God is so different now, and my closeness to the Lord is just, like I said, different, and our marriage was saved, and we experienced that really great blessing. However, our marriage still struggles in so many areas, and I'm wanting to know, because I can't find it in Scripture, if I'm a believer and my relationship with God is the right way and my husband's relationship with God isn't quite like God intends, does the marriage not get blessed like it would if we were both on the same page with our faith?
Well, yes. Obviously, it's much better and stronger when a husband and wife stand together, but the Scripture... I think it's pretty clear that if you have one believer in a family, you can have a Christian family. You can still set the tone for your kids. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that says, are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you're married, you have not sinned. If you're a virgin and marries, you've not sinned. But it goes on to talk about, in fact, let me read it here. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. And the word sanctified means set apart. In other words, if you're a follower of Christ and your husband is not, you become the Christian leader, in a sense, in your home. And it uses the word sanctified. The wife has been sanctified through her believing husband, if it's the other way around. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. And the message there is, obviously, it's best if a husband and wife are on the same page spiritually. But if it's not, you have to carry more of the spiritual load, for sure, in your home, but you become the spiritual thermostat, if you please, for your home. So to answer your question, God will bless you. He will bless your children, and he'll continue to bless your home as you stand firm as a follower of Christ, and then pray for your husband and love your husband as the Scripture teaches.
Well, then one more question along the same line. If my husband is in control of the finances, and I really have no say, unfortunately. Well, I do, but he's in control of the finances. And being in control of the finances, he hasn't yet tithed 10%. And I ask for that. I believe wholeheartedly that if we were tithing 10%, we wouldn't have the financial stressors that we do. Mm-hmm. Is that a factual belief?
Well, I look at Scripture, Tessa, we're talking about the husband has been given the responsibility to be the headship in the home.
Yes.
And if your husband is not taking that leadership in the area of finances and tithing and giving and so on, then God is still going to bless you. He's not sitting in heaven and saying, hey, go behind your husband's back. I need that money. I can't pay my bills without that money. What he wants is your heart. It's not the money. The money is not important to him. It's your heart. He looks into the heart. He sees your heart and your desire to tithe, to give, and so on.
It's my heart's desire to do the right thing, but it's not my husband's. My husband, I guess my husband takes the burden on himself, and he says, well, it's my responsibility to earn money. We can't afford to tithe. Mm-hmm. However, in what I was taught growing up as a Christian is, if you believe in God and you believe that he, you know, is there and can manage your life financially while you tithe and will take care of you, then tithing should be, what you should do. We should have faith that God will be there to make sure that you won't falter.
Yes. You're preaching to the choir, because I believe you on that. Tessa, and I believe Scripture teaches that, but your husband's on a different page. My encouragement to you, and I've talked to women over the years in this very situation, and I've said, here's what my basic message is. You go to your husband and say, will you trust me that we could trust God for the next year and give and see what God does? Does he bless? Does he honor his word? If your husband says no, you don't go behind his back. I've heard of women who do, and I just think that's wrong. It's clearly wrong. I think you submit in terms of saying, that's my husband's decision. And to the extent that you can give and give of your time and your talents and, resources that you can with integrity in your marriage, you do that, not behind his back, and you let God do the blessing. But you know, when you honor your husband, you're honoring God. When you honor obediently what the Scripture teaches, you honor God. And I hear your heart, Tessa, is a heart of a woman who wants to honor Christ, wants to honor her husband, and I think you do that, and God will bless you for it.
Thank you kindly. I think I have a clear understanding.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call.
All right. We'll make it a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm just calling in to make a comment on what I'm doing intentionally for my marriage and towards my husband. He is not saved, but I'm praying for him every day. That's one thing I'm doing. But also, 1 Peter 3:5, I'm trying to live it out. Where it says, wife, be submissive to your husband, even though they are not in the word, for by your conduct they shall be won over. And since I've been doing that for the last couple of years, he is now going to church. He's going twice a week. He still hasn't made that commitment in his heart yet, but faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God, and he's way further than when he was several years ago. So that's what I'm doing intentionally. A pastor told me to do that when I was having problems with my marriage, and it changed him in a mighty way. So that's what I'm doing. Praise God. Bye.
Yeah, good for you. And it changed you as well. You and Tessa should connect and talk, because you certainly have some things in common in strengthening marriage and wanting the best for your marriage and to make your marriage all that God intended for it to be. Today, if you want to join the discussion, if you want to share on Facebook, you can go there, Facebook.com/intentionalliving. You can join us on Twitter or go to our website, where all of our programs are available, including listening to this one live, or when it goes in archives, you can listen to it again. And you go to theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Well, it's Ask Dr. Randy on Marriage today, and he's got more answers just for you. Helping you to be intentional for your marriage. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I got a tip for you that can make your marriage more intentional and certainly better.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
How about this? Within the next 24 hours, why don't you just jump in and help your spouse without having to be asked? Now, it may surprise them at first, but you know what? The feeling's going to be great. And I would encourage you to think about it in advance. Maybe it's doing the dishes without being asked, making the bed without being asked. Maybe it's sweeping the floor without being asked, or watching the kids. Or maybe it's a back rub without having to be asked. Whatever it may be, one thing that would make your spouse know that you care because they didn't have to ask, you did it because you love them. You know, it's the little things that separate successful marriages from unsuccessful marriages. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. In Psalm 120, the writer said, "In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me." If you're looking for answers and want help crying out to the Lord, consider joining our prayer community. When you share your prayer, you could end up with having people praying for you all around the world. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com/prayer. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. Welcome back to the Intentional Living Center today. If you'd like to join us, call toll-free 888-888-1717, just like Danielle did from Michigan. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment today?
Talking about the bait and switch and feeling like, well, I have been feeling like that lately. My husband and I were married once before mm-hmm. and got divorced, mostly because of the kids, because we couldn't agree on how to.
So you were on different pages on how to raise the kids as a result of that, primarily got divorced?
Yeah, okay. Basically, that was the main reason. We were divorced for 2 years. The whole time he wanted me to come back, but I kept saying no. But then after a while, I started reading the Bible and listening to Christian music. And, you know, everything was about family and love and forgiveness. And he made a lot of promises, and he really seemed like he was better. So we did get back together, and the first thing I said is that I wanted us to put God first, and he agreed. We got remarried, but now everything has gone back to the way it was. I don't like the way that he talks to the kids. He gets upset with me because sometimes, you know, I defend them, or because I don't stand behind him and the things that he says, but I don't agree with them at all. I don't agree with the way he talks to the kids. He can be.
Are you guys, these are your children together?
One is his, one is mine, and we have one together.
And so there's probably some, you know, differences there in parenting and so on, I'm assuming. That can be an issue, too. Well, you know, if you don't want to have a retake of what's already happened once, Danielle, the two of you have to sit down and come to terms with what kind of a marriage and family do you guys want. I mean, you've already been down this path. It didn't work the first time, and you divorced, and then you thought things were different, and then you've gotten remarried as a result of that. And if they're not, I'm assuming your fear is it's going to go back to the way it was. You know, I guess I would just share the obvious thing as adults. Do you want to go through the pain, the two of you, of this whole thing again? Does he want to go through the pain of divorce? Do you want to go through the pain of divorce? Do you want to, guys want to have the confusion with the kids and all the things that happen as a result of divorce, not only once, but twice, maybe three times in some case, I don't know. But Danielle, I would really encourage you and your husband, you know, sit down with your husband and say, honey, listen, you know, we've been down this road before. This isn't working. You and I need to get some counseling together and figure out what kind of a home and family we want, because this just isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that being where you guys have been in the past, he'd be aware of what you're talking about. Would he go to counseling with you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that if I made an appointment, he would go. We were getting counseling from our pastor for a while, though. He didn't really listen, I guess, to the things that the pastor said, or he didn't take it to heart, I feel, because he didn't follow
through. What did the pastor say to you? What did he instruct you to do?
To love him, to do the things that he wants me to do, you know, as a wife, which I am. I think that the pastor didn't really agree with the way that my husband talks to the kids either. So he really told him that, you know, you can't get this time back, to stop being so hard on the kids, to come home
Let me jump in, Danielle, because I don't have your husband on the phone. I only have you. And I hear your heart. I hear your concern. But, you know, you need to work on whatever it is in your life that God is directing you, the Holy Spirit is guiding you in your relationship with your husband and with your kids. You can't change your husband. You're not the Holy Spirit. Your pastor can't change him. I'll tell you, the longer we spend time waiting for somebody else to change, the less we spend on changing ourselves. Now, that doesn't negate that there's a problem, please. I'm not trying to negate there's an issue there with your husband and so on. But since he's not here, I can't talk to him. I can only talk to you. And I would encourage you, Danielle, to really get into counseling by yourself. Go see your pastor or a Christian counselor or a female counselor, perhaps, that can sit down and just help you work through the process of being in a difficult marriage, to help you become the woman that you need to be as a Christian and knowing specifically what to do. Because we can't change your husband, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do to change him. There's nothing I can do. It's got to be a God thing. Is that something you're willing to do?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, we're praying for him. Sorry you're going through this. It certainly isn't what God's intention is. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. And when we stand on the same page as a parent, it's much better, for sure. Thank you for your call.
Hi, Randy. This is Jan from Prattville, Alabama, and I just wanted to comment on the man that had called the other day who did not agree on your intentional living. You've made such a difference in my life, and I try to listen to you every day, and I thank you so much for your ministry and what it means to me and so many others. And I'd like to ask all your listeners today, I would like to challenge them who are listening to send to your program today their best offering to show that it's made a difference in their life. And I just pray that the challenge would meet your budget's needs and then some. Thank you again. Jan from Prattville, Alabama. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jan, and those words of encouragement for people to respond is appreciated above and beyond. Thank you, because we have this very special year-end matching gift. Friends of the ministry have offered to match dollar for dollar up to $200,000 for the Family Life Communications and Intentional Living Ministry. That means your gift will be doubled up to that amount. $100 becomes $200 and so on. And all you have to do to help us here, literally with just a couple days left in this year, We want to include you in this year for tax purposes for you, but also to close out our books strong this year. Here's what you have to do. Simple. In one of two ways, you can either go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call 888-888-1717 and press prompt number 4. It'll take you right to one of our staff if you call during West Coast business hours. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. Tomorrow, very interesting program. We ask people to share one verse that they would like President-elect Donald Trump to consider placing on his desk in his administration, and you're going to hear what they are.
I was listening to one of your broadcasts about living intentionally, and I just really was encouraged to hear that someone else is teaching that principle.
I'll come in the house, and it's something that God wanted me to hear, and I sit down, and I heard it, and I just, like, I sit there to you through your whole broadcast, and I think, thank you, Lord, I really needed to hear that.
And I just would like to ask that you continue to have us in your prayers, that we can try to live a more intentional life and get our priorities in line and find a way to make things work for us so that we can live more intentionally.
Good for you. You know, when I think of intentional living, this is really, really basic stuff in life. If we look at God and we study Scripture, we realize that God is very intentional. You know, He knows what He's doing. And He doesn't stop and say, well, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, or maybe today I'll do this, but tomorrow I'll change my mind and do that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's very intentional. And we're told right in the beginning of the Bible that we are made in His image. So, I add up in my head, He's intentional. He wants us to be intentional. It seems to me that living an intentional life is a good thing. And that's why we really teach this, preach this, hammer at it, remind, cheerlead, do whatever we can to help you see that if you choose to do the next right one thing, God's intention for your life, or like on a topic today for your marriage, it'll be transformational for you. That's why we do this. And I hope like the callers today, it's making a difference in your life. And again, come and join us. Be a part of something in life that's making a difference. Be a part of something where you're impacting people on this planet you may never meet. Your financial support, your prayer support, so meaningful. Whether you've been unequally yoked or not, get on the same page. There's power in agreement. That would be my closing thought for today's program. For Steve and Stephen and Sally and my wife Donna and our entire team, God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life here from Intentional Living.